read for us some more quotes of scripture from 1 Corinthians 15. And it's Paul writing to, it's quite a long letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians. They were a group of believers, but they were having growing pains. It wasn't all wasn't as it should be. That growing pain. Paul wanted to help them. But above all, the point he wanted to make to them, to put them back on the right track, he wanted them to be absolutely certain that Jesus had died and that he rose again. See, without the resurrection, there's no faith, really. No faith. There's this theological debate and discussion. But without the resurrection, there is no faith. Paul wanted to remind those early Christians of that truth. And Graham's now going to read that to us.
My friends, I want you to remember the message I preached and that you believed and trusted. You will be saved by this message if you hold on firmly to it. But if you don't, your faith was all for nothing. I told you the most important part of this message exactly as it was told to me. This part is: Christ died for our sins, as the scriptures say. He was buried, and 3 days later he was raised to life, as the scriptures say. Christ appeared to Peter, then to the 12. After this he appeared to more than 500 other followers. Most of them are still alive, but some have died. He also appeared to James, and then all of the apostles. Finally, he appeared to me, even though I am like somebody who was born at the wrong time. I am the least important of all the apostles. In fact, I caused so much trouble for God's church that I don't even deserve to be called an apostle. But God treated me with undeserved grace. He made me what I am, and his grace wasn't wasted. I worked much harder than any of the other apostles, although it was really God's grace at work, and not me. But it doesn't matter if I preach or if they preach. All of you believe the message just the same. Amen.
Thanks, Greg. Paul spells it out. He spells out what faith is, what we need to believe in. You know, we need to understand Paul. We need to know who Paul really was. Paul was a persecutor of the early church. A prosecutor. He was on his way to prosecute Christians when he met the Lord Jesus on that road to Damascus. And his life was never to be the same again. He's written to the church in Corinth around about AD 50, about 15 or 17 years after Jesus' death and resurrection. He reminds them of the wonders of Easter Sunday. The wonders of Easter Sunday. Easter didn't end on Friday. On Sunday's coming. And it is this belief in the risen Jesus that saves them. Nothing else. It's belief in the risen Jesus that saves them and saves us. What's more, Paul wants to say that many people had seen Jesus alive at the time of writing. They were primary witnesses. Not second-hand witnesses, they were primary witnesses. Not hearsay. Tells them that the events of Easter were the fulfillment of scriptures. And above all, he wanted them to be confident about this, and he wanted them to be confident in their faith. So this morning I'm going to spend a little time just talking about the amazing effect of the resurrection on the first disciples and the early followers. We need this to go back again to Friday. The sadness of Good Friday. All that despair. All that fear. Scattered disciples worried about their lives. Gloom, despondency everywhere. But 2 years later, everything changes. Jesus is alive, amen? Jesus is alive, hallelujah. And over the next few weeks, loads of people met Jesus. So they were witnesses to the fact that he was alive. You know, a witness is someone who was there. Someone who was there. Someone who was seeing the evidence. And we're going to meet some of those who were seeing the evidence in a moment. Each person would have placed a hand in the Bible to promise to tell the truth. And we look at each of them asking them three questions. Who are they? What is their connection to Jesus? How did they know he's alive? And how was their lives changed? The first group I want to talk about are the three women. Three women. We had three ladies who earlier in the service were in the garden and said, "Don't look from here. He's alive, he's gone." Mary Magdalene, Salome, mother of the Apostle James and John. So what was their connection to Jesus? Well, they were friends and they were relatives of Jesus. Now how did they know he was alive? Well, they knew he was alive because they watched him die on the cross 2 years earlier. They knew he was buried. They knew the tomb he was buried in because they had a rush to get him buried, get the body prepared for that burial. They knew that he was dead. And we read in Mark 16 that he's no longer here, he's alive. And their lives did change. How did their lives change as a result of that day? You see, initially when they went to the garden, they were afraid. They were afraid like everybody else who knew them. They were afraid. But after they met Jesus, they walked with him. And they talked with him. He's alive, they said. He's alive not just for then, he's alive forevermore. That means he would always be walking with them. Their lives were changed because of the events that happened in that garden and around that tomb on that Easter Sunday. Second witness I want to mention is Peter. Peter. Now who is Peter? Well, Peter was originally called Simon. But Jesus renamed him Peter, or Cephas, which means the rock. What was his connection to Jesus? Well, he was Jesus' closest followers. He saw Jesus feed thousands of people. He saw him walk on water. He even helped Peter to walk on water. He saw him arrested. But you know, there's something about Peter which says he was a bit of a fair weather believer. Because when the going got tough, he started questioning and even denied that he knew him. He denied Jesus three times, if you remember. Denied that he knew him three times. He's a fair weather supporter. But you know, I'm not disillusioned by that. I'm rather pleased that Peter was a fair weather supporter. Because we all, at times, are fair weather supporters. But Jesus didn't dismiss Peter. In fact, he said to Peter, "Peter, stand up. On you I'm going to build my church." So despite our own failings, Jesus can do great things through you and I. Don't worry if sometimes we fall by the wayside. We too can mess up. So how did Peter know he was alive? Well, the woman said that an angel had specifically told them to tell Peter that Jesus was alive. The scripture says that Peter went on to meet Jesus on the same day he came alive. He saw him on that first resurrection day. On the beach it was, early in the morning. But he saw him at other times. And he knew it was Jesus. He knew it wasn't a ghost. He knew it wasn't an apparition. He knew it wasn't a figment of his imagination. He knew it was Jesus. And how did Peter's life change as a result? Well, I think when he met his Jesus again, that fair weather support had disappeared for all time. He knew exactly who Jesus was, and he knew who he was, Peter. He knew who he was. Jesus had forgiven him for letting him down and had given him a new task to help others become followers of Jesus. Jesus said, On you and on your confession of faith, I will build my church. How Peter must have felt. Peter knew all about his faults and failings. But here you have Jesus putting his arms around him and telling them, on you I will build my church. So you and I, that Jesus can build his church today. And we need to understand that. We need to be ready for the challenge. A portion of scripture Paul talks about over 500 people. We don't know who the identity of these 500 people are, but he talks about more than 500 people. They would have been undoubtedly followers of Jesus. It certainly mentions James. James is really interesting, I find. James was the half-brother of Jesus. And during Jesus' lifetime, James didn't really understand who his half-brother was. He didn't accept him. He didn't believe who his half-brother was until after the resurrection, when he saw him. Third witness is Paul himself, I want to mention. As I said, Paul, he was originally known as Saul from Tarsus. Paul was a very intelligent and religious man who persecuted the early Christians. I've no doubt that he set out and he not just persecuted but would have been integral in killing Christians. A man who was as far away from the Christian faith and the Christian ideal that you can imagine. How did Paul, his persecutor, know that Jesus is alive? Well, as I mentioned before, on his way to persecute another group of Christians, Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus. Changed his life forever. His life was changed as a result of that encounter. Life had been transformed into a persecutor, not just to be into just to be a believer. But I wonder how far the Christian faith had got if Paul had not been transformed on that road to Damascus. Paul took the faith and took it to places where it would have been very difficult for anybody else to take it. What a transformation. What a transformation. Let me just read verses 10 and 11 in that portion that I read earlier. It says, but God treated me with undeserved grace. He made me what I am, and his grace wasn't wasted. He said, I worked harder than any of the other apostles, although it really was God's grace at work in me and not me. But it doesn't matter if I preached or if they preached. the message just the same. A changed man because of the resurrection and beaten the risen Jesus. See, all these people had met Jesus and were convinced that he was alive. And none of them were expecting that. No one was expecting that. But they did meet Jesus and their lives were never the same thereafter. And you know, many of them went on to die for their faith. You will have people saying to you, it's all just a story. It's all made up. It's all just a fairy tale. I don't know anybody who would die for a fairy tale. I don't know anybody who would die for a made-up story. These people were changed. And many of them died because of the truth on which they stood. You know, you and I might not meet Jesus in the same way as Paul did. But churches like Sandy Baptist Church are full of people who have met Jesus and have been changed. Churches are full of people who have been changed, have a testimony, can say how the resurrected Jesus has changed their lives. See, because of Easter, because of the resurrection, we can have hope, and we cannot be afraid, because the resurrection transforms lives. And may that be true for all of those who worship this Easter day, just as the lives of the first disciples and the early followers were transformed. Let's just spend a few moments thinking about what the resurrection means to us and how our lives might have been transformed. Or maybe they've been transformed this very day for the first time. Let's just spend a little time with the Lord, giving thanks, offering ourselves up to him again.